Up next, installing a water-powered backup sump pump on the Handy Guys Podcast.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, where we work together on that honey-do list, featuring head-to-head tool challenges and your questions. Here are the Handy Guys themselves, Brian and Paul. What a concept!
All right, Brian, today we're going to do something a little different. We've mentioned before that if you have a great project, we'd love to have you on the podcast. And so we are going to have one of our listeners. His name is Mark, and he lives in Iowa. And he is going to come on our show to talk about an interesting installation that he just went through. He wanted to install a backup sump pump, and this is a specialized pump, and it's a great solution to his problem. Namely, that when he gets a ton of rain, he can't afford to have any power outages or have his main pump fail, or else he will have water in the basement. So we're going to talk about that. And but before we do that, we need to give out our contact information.
That's right. You can always call us at 818-804-TOOL, which is 8665, or come to our website, handyguyspodcast.com, and fill out the contact form.
Up next, we'll be talking to Mark about his sump pump installation.
Want to be notified of every new Handy Guys podcast episode? Simply enter your email address in our subscription box at handyguyspodcast.com.
Tonight we have Mark with us from Marion, Iowa, and as we already mentioned, he is one of our listeners. And he's had some problems, Brian, recently, and he's going to talk about how he solved them with a new backup pump system from Base Pump. And Mark, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us through Skype this evening and being part of the Handy Guys podcast. You've been an ongoing listener, as you mentioned, and now you can actually listen to yourself.
Yeah, that'll be a little weird.
Well, we appreciate you calling in, and why don't you tell us, first of all, You have a finished basement, and you had a bit of a problem, right? Your sump pump failed. Why don't you give us some background? What happened?
Yep. Well, my wife and I just finished our basement, and we finished it up probably about 3 weeks before this occurred. So we had just started moving stuff into the basement and getting things organized, and we had about 9 inches of rain in 2 days. And I got home from work and stopped at the babysitter first to pick up my son, and the lady's like, "Oh yeah, some people around the neighborhood are having water in their basement already." And I'm like, "Oh, my basement will be fine. It's dry. I never get any water in there." So I get home and walk down the stairs, and all of a sudden I hear this squish, squish, squish underneath my feet. And I look down, and there's the whole basement just covered in about an inch of water.
That's the worst feeling.
Yeah, so I make my way over to the utility room where the sump pump is, and the sump pump just didn't work in the GFCI breaker or the GFCI outlet. The GFCI outlet did trip on that, so... something just didn't work quite right. A loose connection or something tripped that, and the float also didn't work, I found out later. So anyway, my basement flooded with about an inch of water. So that's kind of the story, is my sump pump, my $40 one from the big box store, just failed me.
Now, but it was because of the GFCI breaker?
Well, it was both. The breaker or the outlet was tripped.
Okay.
And the float didn't work, so I don't know which one happened first.
Okay.
And there was a loose connection in there where I had the sump pump hooked up, which I fixed now. But when I first plugged it back in, there was shooting water out the top. So it could have been one of two things.
Now, one thing that I don't know if it's different in your local area, but around here at least, and in general, if you have a dedicated outlet to a sump, you don't have to put it on a GFCI.
Yeah, and that's the way it is here too, but the inspector told me that it was highly recommended to
really
put in a GFCI for the sump pump.
Oh, well, that home inspector should be fired.
Yeah. Well, it's like that. It's freezers, refrigerators.
You don't want those on GFCIs for the same reason. They're finicky. Some of them can be really finicky and will trip. But anyway, either way, even if that wasn't the issue, you said you had other issues with the pump. You don't want your brand new basement to get flooded again. So what was the solution that you looked into?
Well, I was talking to one of my friends, and he said to look up water backed up sump pumps. So instead of requiring like a battery backup to run the sump pump, it takes the water from the municipal city side and powers the pump that way. And so I sent a tweet over on Twitter to the handy guys and said, hey, have you ever heard of a water-powered backup sump pump? And I got a response back saying, no, we haven't really heard of one, but this is what we found when we quick Googled it. And so I checked out Base Pump and found one that I thought would work out pretty well.
Right. Now it's coming back to me. Actually, it was you, Brian, right, that worked with them, and you discovered what, Base Pump?
That's right. I said, you know, I think I had heard of water-powered backup sump pumps, and we've talked about backup, you know, just having a backup system in general when we did our basement series. And so I said to Mark, I think, you know, look around, see, you know, which ones, you know, are you interested in? Maybe we can reach out to the vendor and see if they'd want to help us out with a pump, and we'll get one installed for Mark, and we'll do a show about it. And so that's how this all came to be.
So we're looking at the Base Pump now. Which model from Base Pump did you end up purchasing or receiving from us?
I received the RB750, so it's the residential size. It's the slowest pumping out of all of them.
Now, go ahead. How did you determine which model that you actually needed for your job?
Well, they have on their website the 5-gallon bucket test, so you turn on a faucet that doesn't go through like a hot water heater or a water softener, and fill up the bucket and time it with the stopwatch how long it takes to fill up the 5-gallon bucket. So I went outside and was able to just put the bucket underneath there and timed it out, and it came out to be the kind of the middle of the road in between the HB1000, which is the middle of the road, kind of on the edge of commercial building or residential. And so they just sent me the residential one just to make sure that it would fit my needs.
So the bucket test essentially measures how much water pressure you have, right?
Yep, exactly. Okay. How quickly it fills up that 5-gallon bucket gives them a rough range on how much water pressure
gallons per minute or whatever.
Now, PSI.
Right. Now, you ended up installing this yourself, correct?
Yep, that is correct.
And tell us about the, so you actually need your water, you need the plumbing around the sump pit, correct? Was that something that was easily available to run the water to your sump pit?
At first, I thought it'd be really easy because I had a 3/4-inch line running over to a bathroom, but then it says you can't put it through any restrictors, so like the hot water heaters or the water softeners, anything like that. So I had to run a dedicated 3/4-inch line. And so the way that I finished my basement, I just ran it right up against some ductwork, right close to ductwork, I should say, and just ran it straight over. So it was about 50 feet or so. Nice and easy. It was pretty good access to get to it all.
Cool.
Well, that was good.
And what was your, have you done plumbing work before? Or was it?
Yep. When I built the house, my wife and I did a lot of the work along with the help of our parents. So we did all the plumbing, electrical ourselves. So I have a fair amount of plumbing experience.
And you went out and got your plumbing license, did you not?
Well, I have the residential plumbing certificate, so I had to take a municipal test.
Right.
So I had to take a municipal, I can't say municipal. I had to take the city test, I'll say that.
There you go. That works. I'm going to leave that in. So, cool. So you had to take a local test to get your approved to do plumbing in your area.
Yep. I had to take the test, and then basically it was a question and answer over the code book and making sure that I knew how to put everything in the vents and what.
So tell me about the installation of this pump. Like, where would you put it in, like, the handy guy kind of level of difficulty? Is it something that, you know, you need to have a fair amount of experience with plumbing to do?
Not really. As long as you understand how to work cement. Like, I have all CPVC for my water pipe in my house. So it was fairly easy. You put the purple primer on, then you put the cement on, put the two pieces together, hold it there for a little while, and then you wait a couple hours till you turn on the water. But as far as difficulty, it was kind of middle of the road. It took a little bit longer than I was hoping, just because I was making sure to follow all the instructions, because that's what the website says, is make sure you follow all the instructions completely and fully.
Right.
Don't leave anything out, no extra parts, you know, all of that, right?
Yep.
Were the instructions clear?
Yeah, they were pretty clear. Kind of wordy. I'm more of a picture guy myself. But
oh, really?
But it got the point through.
Oh, I like the some of the places around here, like IKEA. If you buy their stuff, there are no words. It's just pictures. And I always want some words.
Right.
Yep.
So, well, tell me, how does this thing work? I mean, what's the concept with a water-assisted or a water-powered backup sump pump? I mean, what are we talking about here?
Basically, from my understanding, the way that it works is it acts like a big giant straw, and so it shoots the water through the very top of it, and it just siphons up the water coming through below. So the pipe is always full of water that runs all the way down to the sump pit, and then as it as you need to, like the water shoots through, fills up the pipe, and then acts like a big giant straw and sucks the water back out.
So there's water turning some kind of a pump.
No.
Creating a siphon.
Creating a siphon.
Yeah.
Yep. It's not even turning a pump. It's just filling up the pipe and then shooting it out the top. So where it ejects out into the open on the outside, after the pipe is full, it just basically shoots the water directly outside and sucks the water up as it does that.
That's kind of where I was going with the question. So what happens to this to your city water? That
gets shot straight outside.
So it goes outside along with whatever's being discharged from your sump.
Yep, they figure it's 1 gallon per 1 gallon of city water for every 2 gallons that's sucked out of the pump.
Okay. So, you know, it'd be like leaving your hose on to water your grass kind of a thing as long as it's running.
Yep.
So obviously it sounds like you have to have city water. You can't do this if you have a well.
Yep, if you have a well and you don't have a backup for that well,
right.
Like an electricity source.
Right.
If you lose electricity, then you're kind of out of luck.
Yeah, sure.
Right, so this is a great system because you don't have to worry. The battery-operated systems, you got to make sure you have those batteries, replaced every so many years and 3 to 5 years or whatever it is. And, you know, the battery only lasts so long, whereas this system, you know, I don't remember ever recall losing water pressure unless, you know.
Yeah, I guess if you had a whole region-wide blackout for multiple days on end where the city couldn't pump the water to you anymore, but, you know, you got other problems if that's going
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
That's why I ended up choosing the water backup system is just because of the reliability if the power goes out. Being an electrical engineer at an electric utility, I understand that the power does go out, so... it's nice to have something that doesn't require the electricity or the battery backup.
Want to be notified of every new Handy Guys podcast episode? Simply enter your email address in our subscription box at handyguyspodcast.com.
Okay, well, tell us about the product itself. I mean, does it look like something that you can install and kind of forget about for many years? Or
Pretty much the instructions say after it's installed, make sure that you go down and cycle about every 6 months just to make sure that it's still working properly,
mm-hmm.
and replace the batteries and the alarm every 2 to 3 years when it starts chirping like your smoke detector would.
It's got an alarm. Tell me about that.
Yep.
What's the alarm doing?
Just basically makes an electrical contact. So it's a couple pieces of metal that when it makes a contact, it will signal the alarm. And it'll go off until you go and reset the alarm. So basically you'll know any time that your water backed up sump pump is running. Anytime that base pump's running, it'll make the alarm for you.
Okay, so that you don't... so that way it doesn't...
You're not wasting city water.
Right, you know your main pump. You need to look at it.
Yeah, you know your main pump has
failed. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yep. And obviously that sensor you have to adjust in the sump pit. So if you set it in the wrong spot, then it will go off.
Sure.
It could never go off if you put it in the wrong spot, if the base pump's running.
So at this point, you've put in a new main pump, right? And then and a new backup. So hopefully you fix the issue, because that's a real pain, especially any time, but especially right after you finish the basement to have to tear out all your carpets and everything.
Yep. It wasn't a fun ordeal, that's for sure.
Right. And to our listeners, we're going to have a few pictures up on the website. Is that right, Mark?
Yep. I'm going to send them your direction here.
Excellent. Cool. That'll be good.
So tell us, does this system have a float that's like the your regular pump, or how does it...
Yep, it's a big softball-sized float, and whenever the water raises up high enough, it'll engage the pump, and it actually diverts some of the city water down into the sump pit as well. And that's basically the on-off switch for when it's going to turn on the water.
Huh. So I'd read somewhere that this thing doesn't even have any moving parts on the float except for the ball itself that just moves up and down.
Yep.
I assume your pit's kind of a standard-sized pit, so you had no problem with enough room for both pumps in it?
Yep, I had to kind of move my main pump around a little bit. And since I put one of the whatever kind of check valves you have in there that you can move that around and take it apart, I was able to maneuver it where I needed to make sure there's enough room that the big yellow ball float wasn't going to catch anywhere.
Right. So do you feel like the performance of it was enough that if you get a lot of rain and the main pump fails, that it's going to keep the water out?
Yeah, with the water pressure that I get from the city, I would bargain to say that it actually is quicker than my third horsepower new main pump that I have.
Wow. That's impressive.
Is it noisy or is it quiet? I mean, is it...
It makes noise, but it's not like you're going to be standing on the first floor of the house and on the other side of the house and hear it. I mean, you'll hear it running if you're down in the area, but it's not super noisy. It's probably a little bit louder than my main pump, but not a whole lot.
It'd be interesting if you said other people had flooding issues in the neighborhood. That I would imagine that the just the fact that you've done this, the word will pass, get spread. Other people would be interested in doing the same thing. I know I would if I had that issue.
Yeah.
So, in fact, maybe I will because my pump, it's working well, but I don't have any. The plumbing would be hard to get over into the. It's like the opposite corner of the finished basement, but. The good thing is I think I don't know that my basement would actually flood because of the way it's graded and downhill outside, but nevertheless, it's nice to have a backup.
Mm-hmm.
So
my groundwater all came up from underneath the slab. So.
Oh, okay.
From under the slab.
Yep.
You know, I've said, Mark, that, you know, my basement's dry. I've never had water in my sump pit, you know, and I've done a lot of stuff when I built the house to mitigate any potential future water issues. But, you know, you were probably saying that to yourself, you know, a few weeks before you had the water in your basement as well.
Oh, yeah. I said that a couple of minutes before I found the water in my basement.
So maybe I need to consider one of these, too. I'm in the same boat that Paul is. I don't know why. Maybe they just build houses like that but around here, but I don't have water anywhere near my sump pit.
You are listening to the Handy Guys Podcast.
Give me an idea. You said you had a couple issues installing this, but some of the problems you had were, as you told us before this interview, were self-inflicted, you know, some mistakes you made. But if I were to go to install this, is this something I can get, you know, it's kind of like an all-day thing? Affair, or is it?
No, I probably total with doing the new 3/4 inch water line to the pump and the new discharge pipe probably took me about 4 hours total.
Oh, wow.
Maybe about half a Saturday.
Okay.
And then that's given if you kind of know what you're doing. And I like I told you, I took my time doing this to make sure I did it right. Don't want my basement to flood again. So,
all right. And no major DIY mistakes during this install?
Well, there was two issues that I kind of had. One was that when I was filling up the 5-gallon bucket to go test the new pump, I had some like the little rubber gasket inside of the hose, into the hose faucet came apart, and so my faucet wouldn't turn off. But luckily, it was on the same structure as the main shutoff valve for the house, so I shut that off and had a couple 5-gallon buckets sitting there, so it wasn't too big of an ordeal, and had to take a quick trip to the big box store to pick up a new $5 part. And then the other issue I ran into was I wasn't getting very good suction, and so I started playing around with it a little bit, and there's one ball valve that I have that I was right close to the pump, and so I kind of turned that down a little bit, and my suction totally went away. So I figured my other ball valve that's in my utility room in the other room might have had a similar issue. So I went over there and looked at it, and yep, it was about a quarter turn open. So after I opened it up all the rest of the way, it just took the water out of there like it was supposed to.
Now, how did you test it? Did you actually just dump buckets of water down into your pit to test it?
That's what I did first, and then it wasn't running, or it was running, but the water was just escaping out the side of the house, and it wasn't causing any suction, so I ended up using my main pump to get it back out of there. But to test it, eventually I just lifted the float up after I didn't have the float being floated in the water. And after you lift that up, it takes about, whatever the adjustment is, but at mine I adjusted it for about 15 seconds. After the float gets down, it'll still continue to run.
Right.
So you can adjust it from it turns off immediately to a minute afterward. but that's kind of how that works.
But there's no electricity, there's no electronics in this thing. It's all just driven by water pressure and...
There's some electronics because it has an alarm on it.
Well, it's got the alarm. But I mean, that's like, I'm just picturing how simplistic this is. Like, what's going to, if something's going to go wrong with this backup system down the road, what's it going to be, would you say?
If something's going to go wrong with it, I would probably guess that the pump or the what acts as the pump, the water line running into it or the mechanism that turns it on and off would have a problem. Or there would be a leak involved with it.
Right. But otherwise, it's a pretty simple thing.
I mean, that's kind of what I was getting at. It seems like there's not a whole lot to it.
It's too bad you have to pay for city water, or else you just use this as your primary pump, right?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And water the lawn at the same time.
How far do you discharge your water out on the outside of your house?
Well, mine runs all the way to the storm sewer. So we have like a sump pump line that's required by the city to go out to the storm sewer.
That's the way to do it, definitely. You want to get it out to the street or as far away from your house as you can. I know I talked to someone once who had a sump pump, and it essentially just went out a basement window like a foot out, you know, a foot out off the foundation, and he was complaining his sump pump ran all the time. And I think his problem was he was recirculating the same water over and over again, you know. It was just coming down the wall and back into a sump pit. So it's great you're going out
like
to
that.
Yeah. So
it sounds like this was a great success and it was worth doing. So now you have not only have you put in the time to get it all working, but it sounds like it's a product that's working for you, and hopefully, knock on wood, there we go, that you don't have any more flooding issues. It sounds like you guys got nailed too this summer. So you needed some significant pumping power.
Yep. This summer was a little less than last summer here in the Cedar Rapids area. We had a major flood, but not necessarily in my neighborhood. So it was last summer, my sump pump was running every 2 minutes. And this summer, like this rainstorm, obviously didn't run at all. Otherwise, it probably would have been doing the 2 minute deal.
Wow. And you said, I think you may have mentioned in an email or when we talked, you'll get 5 or 10 inches of rain, right? And with some of these big storms?
Yep. 5 or 10 inches of rain over a couple day period. The storm just kind of stalls out. I think there was a hurricane in the Atlantic Ocean that just made the storm front stall right over top of us for a couple days.
Well, that sounds like you have a great working product, and it's good that the base pump worked out for you, and we appreciate you joining us on the podcast.
Yeah, and thanks to Base Pump for hooking us up or hooking Mark up with the pump so we could talk about it.
Yeah
thanks, Base Pump.
Sounds like it's a great product.
Yep, I definitely recommend it.
All right, Mark. Well, if you have any other big projects, make sure you let us know. Maybe we'll have you back on the podcast sometime.
Okay. Well, thanks, guys.
All right. Take care. Okay. So it sounds like that was a great solution. The base pump worked out well for Mark, and we thank again Mark for being on the show.
And we thank Base Pump for hooking Mark up with the product, so we had something to talk about tonight.
And we will make sure that we provide a link to Base Pump on our website, and... we'll have some information about the models and hopefully some pictures of the installation. And that was a great story. And hopefully you can prevent some floods in your basement, our listeners.
That's right. And we'll add this to a part of our basement finishing series because making sure you've got your water under control is the number one thing when you're finishing your basement.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thanks for all that information, Mark. And we will be back next week with another episode of the Handy Guys Podcast.
Thanks. Bye.
The Handy Guys will be back next week. Same handy time, same handy website.